Good morning, everyone. This is Christopher Glenn with the CBS World News Roundup. U.S. officials say American helicopters have been requested for backup duty as Honduras moves 2,000 soldiers to the tense border with Nicaragua, threatening bombing operations also to drive out Sandinista forces.
This is John Blackstone in Honduras. The president of Honduras set today as a deadline for the Sandinista soldiers to move out of their positions inside his country. President Ascona said he would order more airstrikes against the Nicaraguans if they didn't flee. He also warned that Honduran ground forces are nearing the scene of the fighting between the Sandinistas and the U.S.-backed Contra rebels. In a news conference, President Ascona stressed that he had invited American troops to Honduras, and the knowledge that the United States was there to back him up helped his small armed forces face the much larger Nicaraguan military. Informed sources here still insist that at least 1,000 Nicaraguan soldiers remain inside the borders of Honduras. Although the fighting has diminished and there are signs the Nicaraguans are pulling back, the sources say the Nicaraguans continue to use artillery against Contra positions. If the Contra's major supply depot has been destroyed, the fighting days for this rebel group may be almost over. The Contras and the Sandinistas are scheduled to begin peace talks next week, but after the last few days of fighting, and with no new money coming from Washington, the Contras may have little left with which to bargain. John Blackstone, CBS News, Tegucigalpa, Honduras.
Newsman William Gasparini is following developments in Managua.
The Sandinistas continue to deny that their troops have invaded Honduras, and the government has had no comment at all as to the Honduran and U.S. accusations. But they do say that there are large troop concentrations still in that border area, but on the Nicaraguan side. The Nicaraguans have maintained since the beginning that the action in the border area is an act of self-defense against the Contras. The president has said repeatedly that they have destroyed many Contra camps. However, he didn't specify which side of the border, but he has said several times that the Nicaraguan troops have stayed on the Nicaraguan side and have not crossed into Honduras.
Here at home, nearly 400 arrests were registered as demonstrators protesting the troop deployment took to the streets in many cities. There was sporadic violence as they blocked traffic in San Francisco. 1,500 marched from Times Square to the United Nations in New York City. In Minneapolis, protesters hurled bowling balls, eggs, and paint, damaging a military recruiting station. Panama's strongman Manuel Noriega is reeling from the effects of a U.S. cash freeze that continues to keep the banks in his country shuttered. But now a deal is cooking that could prove attractive to him. We asked White House correspondent Terrence Smith to outline the proposal.
Noriega has been negotiating with U.S. officials who went to Panama to see him about the terms under which he might leave his country and take political asylum in a third country. And he has told them that while he's not yet ready to make a commitment, he is willing to consider the deal. The deal, according to U.S. officials, is that the U.S. will agree not to extradite Noriega on drug charges if he will leave voluntarily. It also appears that he would be able to keep many of the millions of dollars he is said to have siphoned off from drug dealing and other activities, since most of that money appears to be salted away abroad already.
The government of Spain has indicated it would not move to block any request Noriega might make for political asylum, although it's not encouraging him to make one. Lieutenant Colonel Oliver North shed his medal-bedecked Marine uniform to announce he's retiring from the Corps, the better to speak out on criminal charges of conspiring to defraud the government of millions of dollars generated by the sale of arms to Iran.
The months ahead will be difficult, and I recognize that fighting a prosecutor with an unlimited budget and an enormous staff is a formidable and costly task for me and my counsel. My family and I continue to take heart from the overwhelming expressions of love and concern and encouragement by countless freedom-loving people.
North, former National Security Advisor John Poindexter, retired Air Force General Richard Secord, and businessman Albert Hakim are named in Special Prosecutor Lawrence Walsh's 23-count indictment. They're to be arraigned on Thursday. Arizona's embattled governor has accused his accuser of mutiny at his impeachment trial, blaming Department of Public Safety Director Ralph Milstead for his predicament and saying he wishes he had fired him. Ron Kilgore of our Phoenix affiliate, KFYI, has more on the trial.
Evan Meekum has finished his testimony before the Arizona Senate Court of Impeachment with the probability of returning at least twice more. The man who won the governorship on his fifth try, only to lose his power after 14 months in office, held steady through 3 days of questioning. Then Meekum told the Senate he too has heard there are already enough votes to sustain his impeachment and thereby remove him from office permanently. But Meacham then told the court he has faith in their judgment.
I think the good sense of most everybody looking, both you in this body and the people out across this land, can see that there isn't one shred of real evidence.
The court is expected to take up the second of the charges against Meacham early next week, the allegation he misused state money for a loan to his ailing car dealership. Ron Kilgore for CBS News, Phoenix.
Decision day for Kansas Democrats, heading for caucuses all over the state as the presidential process proceeds. Casey Lanigan of affiliate WIBW in Topeka has details.
Michael Dukakis, Jesse Jackson, and Al Gore have spent the past couple of days in Kansas trying to drum up support among Democratic voters, hoping they'll turn out at the 117 caucus locations today and vote for delegates who will support them. The local caucuses, which close their doors today at 2:30, will elect 768 delegates to district and state conventions, where 39 of the 43 delegates to the Democratic National Convention will be picked. State Democratic leaders are predicting no clear winner, but that the delegation will likely be split between Gephardt, Gore, Jackson, and Dukakis. Casey Lanigan for CBS News, Topeka.
Tomorrow, Democrats in Puerto Rico hold a primary. Albert Gore was stumping there yesterday, saying he'd consider exempting the territory from the federal minimum wage laws. Two British soldiers not in uniform have been brutally slain by a mob of mourners attending the funeral of an IRA guerrilla in Belfast, Northern Ireland. Reporter Fergal Keane told us what happened.
When the crowd surrounded the car, they started to break the windows. One man used a wheel brace to smash them in. Then the crowd leaned in and tried to drag the two occupants out. Just at that stage, a shot was fired and people fled in panic. But then the crowd returned and surrounded the car, dragging the two occupants out onto the ground, and there they beat them very savagely. At one stage, a stepladder belonging to a photographer was used to batter the men. The men were then driven away in a black taxi, taken to a football pitch where they were stripped naked and spread-eagled. There they were beaten fairly savagely again. Then they were thrown into another taxi and driven away. Our eyewitnesses say they heard at least a dozen shots as the men were shot dead. The bodies were then thrown over a high wall where they were found by the police and army.
The soldiers apparently were shot with their own pistols. Philadelphia police feel they've been handcuffed by the ACLU, which won a court order for them to change tactics in their search for a man who's assaulted eight women. We get the story from Geza Sklaroff of WCAU.
The ACLU accused police of questioning, frisking, and detaining hundreds of black men who fit a vague description of the man they called a Center City stalker. Police union spokesman Rich Costello says police officers are furious about the settlement.
This document says, in plain English, police shall not stop anyone that even resembles the stalker. Well, what kind of nonsense is this? And how in the world are we ever going to catch this guy unless he just walks up and surrenders? We have police walking in even today that are talking about just putting the badge and gun aside and leaving this job, because if you can't let them do it anymore, what sense is there to even keep it?
Costello says women who have already taken to walking in groups because they are afraid should be angry, too, because the agreement, in effect, stops the search for the stalker. Geza Sklaroff for CBS News, Philadelphia.